through this, we're going to go ahead and move forward in a word of prayer. Can we just bow our heads to a throne of grace? Father God, I thank you for giving me an opportunity to stand before your people, to utter the words that you've given to me. But God, I ask you to remove me out of the way. Let their hearts and minds hear and see you. Let no flesh be glorified in this place. God, continue to do your perfect work in and through our lives. God, thank you for cleansing us and making us whole and forgiving us every sin that we have stated, thought, committed, or are planned to commit. God, we just thank you for already applying the blood to our lives. So God, help us to be better stewards of our daily walk with you. Help us to allow the word to do its work in us, that we might bring forth good fruit in the season that you have promised us. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
All right. So the Lord gave this thought to me almost a month ago now. And you know how you have private time everybody has private time with the Lord. Okay. So there's two times where I have pretty much uninterrupted time with the Lord. He catches me in the shower or on a plane. And those are my designated times with the Lord. And so God gave me a title, and it was Good Grief, and I said, okay. And when he kind of led me to the passage that we're going to talk about in Luke, I said, okay, that's kind of like an Easter message, right, Jesus? Like, that's something you do around Easter time. And it wasn't until last Sunday, I pre-gamed before I come to church. I watched different pastors and church services that I like. My favorite one is Wheeler Avenue Baptist Church in Houston. And Pastor Cosby was preaching, and Spirit Lord was talking to me. He said, I'm an everyday message. The resurrection, my death, burial, and resurrection wasn't just for Easter. It's every day. I said, oh, yeah, you're right. So we're just going to talk about good grief. And when you see good grief, you first think of maybe Charlie Brown, right?
Yeah.
Oh, good grief. Okay. So I know quite a few of us, we might not, the younger folks might not know Charlie Brown. They might have only seen memes, but I remember watching the cartoon, and it was a good cartoon. So we're going to go ahead and jump right into the word, and we're going to come out of Luke 23, verses 44 through 48. And this is in the New Living Translation version. So it says, by this time it was about noon, and darkness fell across the whole land until about 3 o'clock. The light from the sun was gone, and suddenly the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn down the middle. Then Jesus shouted, Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands. And with those words, he breathed his last. When the Roman officer overseeing the execution saw what had happened, he worshiped God and said, surely this man was innocent. And when all the crowd that came to see the crucifixion saw what had happened, they went home in deep sorrow. So, title being Good Grief, how can grief ever be good? On last weekend, I received notification, as many of you also received notification. A young lady, 33 years old, passed away, Janice Freeman. She was set to be in our plane that Saturday before. She sat in rehearsal and rehearsed with us and watched the whole play from start to finish, and to just know 8 days later, she's not with us. 33. Then the other families were riddled and hurt by finding their young loved one under the age of 40 deceased. Then there was the phone just been ringing, and you might not have told us, but you know some folks who went on behind the curtain. And a co-worker of mine worked with him for about almost 15 years. Him and his wife worked together over at Ryzen and found out just the other day that he had a massive heart attack and gone. Here today and gone tomorrow. God, you know, how can grief ever be good? How does losing a loved one, and Chucky always uses the example from September 18th, 2013, if I'm not mistaken, that fateful day that he laid over his beloved Mignon. But God, who's rich in mercy, he knows all about it. He knows that death is a real thing, right? And sometimes grief looks differently. We can grieve for our children. Our children could be wayward or behind bars or are not doing what they need to do. They might not be following the ways that they should go, and it grieves our heart. You might hear someone say that I recently was diagnosed with such and such, and that hurts you to the core. So how can grief be good? Well, we look at the definition. Now, I like definitions, right? So good in the noun format is meaning benefit or advantage to someone or something. Grief in the noun, person, place, or thing, deep sorrow, especially that caused by someone's death. So in the passage we're looking at, we're talking about Jesus dying on the cross. So it's only fitting that I use good in the second portion of this definition, because it was to our advantage. It was to our benefit. If Christ had not died for us, oh boy. I'm cool. I don't even want to think about it. If Christ had not died for me. So we're going to look at good grief. So my questions that I have for you all, and I'm pretty sure you have them too. So Camille, you're talking about good grief. You gave the scripture. Okay, we know we're going to talk about Jesus, but I'm hurting right now. This doesn't feel good right now. What are you telling me? I'm supposed to just smile through my pain and be okay? No, no, no. I need help me out. What do I do when I'm grieved? The first thing that we have to do is pray. We have to pray, and we're going to look at some scriptures. In Mark 14, verses 34 through 35, Jesus was crushed with grief. His own words. He says, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. He's telling his people, he's telling the disciples before he goes to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane, just stay right here. I'll be back. I got to go talk to the Father. And in Mark's account, he says he went a little further and he fell to the ground and he yet prayed. And he said, if there's any way that I don't have to go through this, God, take it at this moment. Our beloved Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God incarnate in the flesh, cried out in his humanity. If I don't have to go through this, please find another way. But the verse that we all enjoy is that he says, nevertheless, right? But he calls out Abba Father. Mark hears him say, Abba Father. Everything is possible for you. Now, please take this cup of sorrow away, but he says, not my will, your will be done. So why would I say when you're grieved to pray? Well, we want to mark the perfect man, and that's Jesus Christ. So if he prayed, we should too. Yes. Is that fair? Yeah. All right. Yeah. Now, y'all know I like participation. Y'all yell out and all that good stuff, talk to me back, you know, because I don't want to be a lecturer. This is an interaction. And so he prayed, and not only did he pray, we can look at others in the Bible. We start with Christ because he's always our goal. But you remember Job? Job was crushed with grief on numerous occasions. You know, his friends, if his friends was like Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat before all that even happened. They were like, yo, man, you the boy, I just want to tell you, your kids was over there partying and a whirlwind came up and then just killed them all. How are you just going to say that coolly? Like, just by the way, your kids is gone. Then it was, you know, then your houses and lands and different things was destroyed. I mean, he went through a lot. But he bowed his face before God. And he prayed. Okay. King Hezekiah, he got sick unto death. And he turned his face to the wall. And he cried out to the Lord. Now, what's interesting in this, Isaiah the prophet had came to him saying, hey man, by the way, you've been messed up and did some things. You got to go tonight.
Yes.
Okay, just wanted to tell you, tonight's tonight. All right? And because God's like, interesting. And he turns his face to, and he cries out before God. And before Isaiah can get out of the inner courts of the castle, of the king's castle, the Lord said, I'm granting him 15 more years. So Isaiah, well, I got another message. And he walked on back, and Hezekiah was excited to know that he gave him an extension. How many know you get excited when Edison give you that extension? You still got a payment arrangement left? Yeah! And that's what he did. I think about the widow woman. Now, there's a couple of widow women, and we're going to move on. But we're just talking about good grief. One widow woman, the prophet Elijah, she was already in a place of grief because her husband was gone, and she had ran out of money, and she was just ready for her and her son to make this little cake and die. And then but the prophet Elijah, they had an encounter. And then the boy and her, they lived, you know, lived well. But then the boy got sick and then he died. And she had said, I got to go get the prophet, okay? We got to go get the man of God. And he came and he laid on top of the boy. And he breathed mouth to mouth breath. And he breathed and stretched out on that boy. And that boy came back to his mama. And she was said, because when they asked what was going on, she said, it is well. And her son was dead. And you know, back then, they wasn't embalming. And look, y'all know what happens when something gets hit and die on the road. It swelled that river cell up. I saw what I thought was a little, I thought it was a dog that was dead. It was a cat. But that thing had swollen up from that river. And I said, oh boy. You know, and I thought to myself, back in the day, folks, you know, science wasn't where it is now. But she said it as well. Another widow woman. But this time, Jesus was on the scene. And he was in a town called Nain. And she was on her way to put her son in the ground. They had already had the service at the church. And they was mourning through the town. And Jesus stopped through. And he said, woman, don't weep. And he said, man, come forth. Boy, rise and started talking. And he gave back the woman her son. Good grief. So, okay. When we're grieved, we feel some real pain. Judas, the reason, I'm not saying the reason. He played his part in the death of Christ. He betrayed Jesus. And he was so remorseful and so upset with what he did. He even hung himself over in Matthew 27, verses 3 through 5. At the crucifixion, Mary, his mother, Mary Magdalene, James and John's, there was a lot of women that were hurting. I mean, if you watch the movie The Passion of the Christ, which I feel like is a pretty good depiction, you know, based on what we have, right? But I love the case for Christ. If you ever read that, it tells you the medical background of Christ's crucifixion. And that will just, it just messes you up. And you realize that people experience grief and it rips you to the core. But when we ran in our verse today out of Luke 23, nature was grieving. The universe was in pain. God himself manifested in the flesh was dying on the cross. So by, like I said, by noon, darkness has failed. Have you ever seen noon o'clock be dark o'clock? It don't work like that. The sun was gone. The sun was like, I'm out of here. Y'all tripping. You killing the Lord of glory. I'm mourning. The earth was shaking. And you know, I live in Moreno Valley, and you could hear earthquakes come. You know, we're Californians. You know, we know when earthquakes. We can kind of, oh, it's about to rumble. But could you imagine the earth shaking? Darkness in the middle of the day? Hurt? I mean, how terrible was that day? but it was good grief. Yes. So much so that as the earth was shaking, the curtain of the temple rent, that even the Roman soldier who had sat there and had to pierce his side and blood and water came through separately. Oh man, this was an innocent man we killed. Everybody went home in sorrow.
Right. Everybody.
But we have to pray. And because we pray and we see how nature responded and folks respond, you have to know that you are not alone in your process of grief. He is here and he is there. He's everywhere. And the young adults, we had a conversation one week because I want to make sure they got good understanding of the word. They got good theology. And Lauren and I were talking and we were saying, well, she said, asked the question. She said, if God knows what I'm going to do before I do it, and he knows who I am, you know, all I got, you know, repent, you know, and we're good. I said, yeah. I said, but we don't ever want to go into something saying, I'm going to ask God for forgiveness when I'm done.
Right.
We don't ever want to premeditate in that way, right? And so her and I was having this conversation. I gave an example. I said, but if you knew I was going to hit you, if you knew I was going to do this stuff, and then after I did it, I said, I'm sorry, but you knew I was going to do it again, how would you feel? And this is what blessed me. She said, but God ain't like you and me.
All right.
I wanted to run in that little corner. I said, my baby got good theology.
All right.
You know, because sometimes you don't know if they're picking up what you're putting down, but when they can let you know that they know who God, I said, God, you've given her your nature. She knows your character. So God, if she keeps that all the days of her life, there's some things that will happen where she'll be like, God, that ain't you. Because you wouldn't do that. That must be the enemy. Okay. But God, you say this in your word, so now I know you in the power of your resurrection, in the fellowship of your suffering. There has to be a point where we're relational in this process.
Right.
So you're not alone. Hebrews 4, verse 14 through 15. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. But this high priest of ours, he understands our weakness. For he faced all things, the same testings that we deal with, but he didn't sin. Because he was perfect and blameless. But what I want us to take when we understand that he's there for us, he understands when you're crying at night. He understands when you are welled up with tears and the anxiety is riddling you a little bit too hard and you contemplating things that you never thought you would contemplate. He understands that. But he says, I am your high priest. That you can come boldly to the throne of grace and find mercy and grace for a time of need. There has to be a time where it's so amazing because when he died, when that veil of the curtain rent, when it tore up, he said, y'all can come to me without having to bypass a prayer. Come to me, all ye that are heavy laden and heavy burdened, and take up my yoke. For my yoke is easy and my burden is like, you know, and he did an exchange. He did an exchange. So, you know, on that day, I could only imagine in my mind, death got excited that day. Death was like, I won. I can hear the devil trying to like, you gave your best shot. That's what I'm talking about. They high-fiving. Demons and imps is like, we won. We done did it. And the grave said, bring them to me. I got something for him over here. He ain't coming out. And I ain't nothing worse. I love sports. It ain't nothing worse than someone celebrating before the win.
That'd be making me mad.
Now, okay, I'm gonna come out for a little bit. I'm not a LeBron James fan. Ooh. Sorry, Gerald. Sorry, y'all. But they call him King James, right? And he went from Cleveland to Miami back to Cleveland and Cleveland to LA, right?
Yeah.
And the brother, you know, there's been a lot of discussion about his royalty of basketball. And it comes to a point where sometimes you're like, oh, when we got him, I know we're going to get a ring. I'm a Laker diehard fan. And I'm confident in knowing that we ain't getting a ring this year. And what's so embarrassing as a Laker lover, and even when Kobe never wants to play, I would tell him, shh, don't say nothing yet. We still got 4 minutes left.
Yeah.
Don't celebrate too quickly. Don't do all that. They talk real big before the game. Even at halftime. Oh, you done did that number? Oh, I'm just, okay.
Uh-huh. Like that?
And both be like, yeah. And then here come the Celtics 120 to 107 was the final. At the halftime, y'all was tied and almost leading the game. But something happened on the in-between time. And what I like to say is that when the enemy feels that he's won, that he's given all that he could do, and that he can put on his chest and say, I beat God, they forgot that he had a temporary reservation. He told them in John 12:32, if I'm lifted up from the earth, I'm going to draw all men unto me. But Jesus actually said when he predicted his own death and how he would die, he said, I have to go in the grave for 3 days.
Yeah.
You might want to destroy this temple, but in 3 days, I will build it again. And then Romans 8 is like, what do you mean you won't build it again? But he said it's a temporary situation because my permanent fix only needs 3 days. So I get happy around this part, and I'm going to try to say it as much as I can. So over 2,000 plus years ago, the greatest sorrow that has ever been felt in humanity happened on that day. It was a dark, bloody Friday. But oh, thank God for Sunday. I'm pretty sure on Saturday, folks felt empty. Didn't know where to go. Didn't know what to say. Do we keep having a repast? And I'm pretty sure somebody was starting the clock. And the women got up Sunday to do what they would normally do to anoint the body, but the body wasn't there. The angel said, why you stand here gazing? Well, but let me back up. That's before. That's a little bit later. But the angel says, why are you looking for the living among the dead?
Right.
He ain't here. He's risen. But what I love about that is that not only did he say that he would do it, because in Numbers 23:19, he says, I'm not a man that I should lie,
right,
nor am I the son of man that I have to repent.
Amen.
If I said it, I'm going to do it. If I spoke it, I'm going to bring it to pass.
Amen.
So when he got up, I can only imagine death, hell, and the grave was probably like, there's some rumbling going on.
All right.
It's some shaking moving, just like it was when we put him in here. And I can hear the question asked, death has been swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? Because that's found in 1 Corinthians 15, 54 through 57. Because there has to be an exchange that happens. One day, if we are not experienced by grief here, where someone has to stand before over our body and give us the last rite, we gonna taste it, but if not, there's going to be a trumpet blowing.
Yes.
There's going to be some lightning flashing. Yes. There's going to be another earthquake. Read Revelations 1:7. He talks about it.
Yes.
And just in the same way that we have to know that we got to take our flight and this earthly tabernacle has to dissolve,
yes,
we have a holy God we stand in front of. So when this corruptible has to put on incorruption,
all right,
and this mortal has to put on immortality, then shall it be saying, the saying has passed, that death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? Because the sting of death is sin. So God doesn't kill people. Sin entered the world that caused us to die. Because God's plan was for us to live in a utopia, to to a place of Eden where we could walk around naked and stretch mark free. Hello, somebody. But sin came into the world and it disrupts perfection. But because God is rich in mercy, he blocked off the portion where if they would have ate the other fruit, we would have lived in sin state forever. So he was gracious in that. In fact, the scripture says that he placed armed angel guards and fiery portion. And he said, you know, matter of fact, I'm putting y'all out of Eden. Y'all got to get up out of here. And he was so gracious in that. But he promised us just a little while longer. You got to suffer a little while in this place. But as you're grieving, know that it's a good grief. Because if you love me and you love my son, if you accept my word and you live it right down here, I have a home beyond the sky that the robbers can't get to. Penny Mac can't repossess. You understand? There's a place that he has for us because he said, I go to prepare a place for you that when I come again, I can receive you to my own. In my Father's house, there's many mansions. If it was not so, I would have told you. So if you ever get a portion where, God, I don't know if this thing is real. This pain hurts too much. I don't know if I can hold on a little while longer. Listen to his word. Listen to his word. And most importantly, we have to rejoice in knowing that who he is.
Right.
He's given us his word to take solace in.
Yes.
He said, I am the resurrection,
yes,
the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me.
Yes.
He let us know that in his word, in my favorite one, and this is our closing portion, in 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18.
All right.
Paul is writing to the Thessalonians. He says, but I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. We have some folks that are gone now, and it hurts. March 4th of 2017 was the funeral for my beloved Uncle Bernard. I had a picture on March 4th, 2017 with my beloved Uncle James. And in August of 2018, Uncle James took his flight. But before he left, he said, he gave me 72 years. I'm okay with that.
Yes.
I had some pictures on March 4th, 2019 that came up as a rediscovered this day. And my heart was filled with grief.
Mm.
And it hurt me.
Yeah.
And it brought me back to saying, I can't call him. I can't call him. Can't call Big Mom. And the enemy will use you in that mourning place. He will try to make you feel like that is it.
Mm-hmm.
That you'll never see them again.
Right.
But if they love the Lord.
Yeah.
The Bible says that you must work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling. Fathers have gone behind the curtain. Children have passed before their parents. And that thing hurts. It hurts like nobody's business. But we must not mourn as if we have no hope.
That's right.
For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring him with those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you, by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and yet remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means perceive those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then those who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the clouds.
Hallelujah.
And thus shall we always remain with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. It's some good grief, folks. Because if Jesus hadn't died, this message wouldn't be no message. This church wouldn't be no church. We wouldn't be here. There wouldn't be no hope. The end would be it. But be thanks be unto
agree.
But that little song I keep hearing down in my spirit says, real, real, Jesus is real to me. Oh, yes, he gives me the victory. So make me fall down him. I can't live without him. That is why I love him so. He's so real to me. Let me tell you. That's it.
Real.
Yeah. Jesus real to me. Oh, yes. Where's my name?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
This is victory.
Thank you, Lord.
So many people doubt him. I can't live without him. That is why I love him so. He's so real to me.
Good grief. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes you need some relief from the grief. Amen. If the truth be told, all of us have some amount of grief in our lives, something that we're dealing with, something that we can't handle on our own, something that only the Lord Jesus Christ can remove and give us peace and relief in the midst of the grief. Amen. Sometimes we're going through it. And sometimes we're wrestling with God and we're losing the battle. We cannot win. Our arms are too short. We got the T-Rex thing going on. Our arms are too short to box with God. God wants us to come to a point where we tap out and we recognize that he is Lord. God, this thing is too heavy for me. I'm going to give it to you. Some of us are heavy with because of bereavement. Someone in our life have passed away and we haven't been able to get past that and the pain it hurts so bad. But God has said, come unto me like the preacher said today.
Yes.
All you who are laboring and heavy laden, I'll give you rest.
Yes.
How many want rest in the Lord?
Amen.
Rest from the Lord.
Amen.
Peace in our homes. Peace in our mind. Peace in our heart.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Lord. Sister Camille, you shared that word today.
Amen.
You know it's a good thing to grow older.
Yeah.
And it's a good thing to grow older and see your children loving the Lord.
Yeah.
See your children solidified in the Word of God.
Yes.
It makes a parent happy to see, to know that when I'm going off the scene, my child is going to hold on to God's unchanging hand. Isn't that what it's all about? We are examples. We live in a time where we've lost three or four generations and the young generation don't know the Lord. And it's up to us to live a life before them that will cause them to want to trust in Jesus when the going gets tough, get rough, and the going get tough, and the hills are hard to climb. They need something that's going to hold them. They need to make sure that their anchor holds in Jesus. So we have a responsibility as saints of God to live a life that's pleasing before the Lord. That somebody else may ask the question, what must I do to be saved? Is there anybody in the house today that heard that powerful message and you need relief from grief